Ladies and gentlemen, I'm calling the California Library Users meeting to order. This is Judy Wilkinson, President. I want to begin this meeting by having a moment in memoriam for one of our founders and one of our greatest supporters of all time, Winifred Downing, who passed away this past Saturday. Was it a week ago Saturday? A week ago Saturday. Wynne was so conscientious that even in her late illness and not feeling very well at all, she wrote me a note saying, "I cannot renew my dues this year." But just imagine that kind of loyalty, that kind of dedication to an organization. I hope that, you know, one of the projects that we can deal with or manage is to do something ongoing in Wynne's honor. And whatever, we will find some way of memorializing Winifred Downing for her great love of this library users group. Madam Secretary, will you call the roll? I'll call the roll.
Actually, I did bring the roster.
Okay. Did you? I'm teasing you because if I caught you off guard.
No, I did bring the roster for another reason, but I brought it.
Yeah.
Actually, I brought it because I didn't put everybody's phone numbers that I'd like to contact here. So I brought it.
Debbie, you're in. Vita has one for you. Yeah. Okay, but just can you do the? Do you remember the board? Shall I? Do you want to do the roll?
Sure.
Okay. Here, have the mic.
Okay, I'll get it out. First, I got it out and you said it out. Okay, that's all right.
This is the way this morning is going, you know. Well, I think that's fine. So I'm going to hand the mic around from person to person. First, I'll start with you, Debbie.
Okay. Okay. This is Debbie Barry, your sec, and the dog is wagging his tail as we're talking. So this is Debbie Barry, and I am Secretary of Kahlua, and glad to be here.
Hi, Maria Mitchell. I am a member of Bayview and a grandmother of a bunch of little bitty people.
I am Mike Keesley. I'm from the Mountain View chapter. I'm just a member.
Albert Contreras. I am a member and secretary of San Gabriel Valley chapter and a secondary member of the East LA chapter and the secretary of the East LA chapter.
Hello, this is Steve Fort, president of Bayview chapter and CCB board of director and members of Kahlua and BRLC.
No, this table's full too.
I'm going to hand you the mic then, Steve.
Wait. This is Guillermo Robles from Los Angeles.
Rob Turner, Secretary BRLC.
Okay, we've got a mic, so we have
already got a mic.
Yeah, we've got one.
Good morning, everyone. I have some feisty people at my table that like short introductions. I'm about to make them squirm. Anyway, my name is my name's Linda Porrell. I am the president of BRLC and a happy collaborator with President Wilkinson of CLUA and also a member of CLUA.
Okay, I can't talk that much. I'm Pam Metz. I'm a board member of CLUA, and that's it. It's short and sweet. And I'm also a CCB board member. Mama Linda made me tell it.
Hi, this is John Glass. I'm from the Silicon Valley chapter.
Hello, this is Susan Glass. I'm Silicon Valley chapter president and CLUA vice president.
I'm Tuan from HEB Capital Chapter.
I'm Phil Obregon from the San Gabriel Valley Chapter.
Vita Zavali, CLUA Treasurer.
Steve Mendelson.
He's the first dude of CLUA.
Do you still have a mic at that table? And have we gotten everybody? Okay. Is there another table being formed?
Rob said it.
Rob?
No, I'm back.
No, he's back here. We're going to put you off in the boonies, Steve. A table behind.
Behind you, Judy.
There's a table right behind me. Who is it, Steve? Who? Come on, Steve, behind me. Since now I've gone off mic, you'll know where I am at. And right behind me, just start a third table, and the crowd will join you.
I'll go sit with him if I don't
know.
Great.
Why don't you have the other microphone?
Okay.
So that
I can send it. Yeah. Okay. So I am next going to ask for, I'm going to say this about the minutes. Debbie has sent the minutes, and they are now posted on the list. I think we will not read them because the fall board meeting minutes are, shall we say, getting out of date by the minute. And we will approve all minutes at our next membership meeting, which will be held by phone in the fall. So there will be the board meeting minutes, which the board will approve, and the membership minutes. But they are now on the list. I saw them, Debbie, so I know they got there. But they, you know, there was some. I'm not sure what happened. Whatever happened, Vita fixed it. Now it's time for a brief and wonderful, we also saw the treasurer's report, but I would love to have, for the record and for audio land and for the MP3 file, a brief treasurer's report, if you would, Vita. I will bring you a mic. She put it out on, all right, she did put it out. Can you remember a bottom line number? No. All right. Read the treasurer's report. It's something a little over $2,000. 27 something. Woohoo! Yeah, but we've actually got money. Okay, you're going to need that, Mike, because our poor voiceless nominating committee chair needs it.
And she has a diminished voice today, so let's.
We'll do that at the next meeting as well, because people haven't seen it necessarily, Vita.
Okay. Hi, you guys again. I'm was chair of the nominating committee. Bonnie and I worked on this. The slate is Judy Wilkinson for president. Susan?
I'm not running this year.
You're not running for president?
It's no, I mean, That office is not up. It's just vice president.
No, it's vice president. I'm sorry. It's Susan for vice president. It's Debbie. Yeah, Debbie for treasurer. And then my board seat.
Debbie for secretary.
Debbie for secretary. Lord help me, Jesus.
And your and Pamela's
and my board,
board,
seat.
Board seat. Okay. The name of Susan Glass has been placed in nomination for vice president. Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations from the floor? Albert Contreras has moved nominations be closed. Linda Perel seconds. All in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? By acclamation. Thank you. The position of secretary. The name of Debbie Barry has been placed in nomination. Are there any other nominations from the floor? Are there any other nominations from the floor? Are there any other nominations from the floor? Steve Mendelson moves nomination to be closed. Steve Fort seconds. All in favor? Opposed? Abstain? Thank you. It's Debbie by acclamation. Thank you. The name of Pam Metz has been placed in nomination for board seat some number or other, but it's the right one. Are there any other nominations from the floor? Are there any other nominations from the floor? Are there any other nominations from the floor? Steve Mendelson once again moves nominations to be closed. Albert Contreras seconds. All in favor, say aye. Aye. Opposed? Abstain? Unanimous. Here. Okay, hang on a minute. I'm getting to the next.
Okay,
Madam Treasurer says she can actually give us a report. She saves my bacon so often I cannot tell you. She needs a mic. Okay.
I'm reading off my computer here. Treasurer's report, California chapter users of the Library Users of America. Yeah. I'm California Council of Blind. Period covered. January 29th to April 4th. Okay, I got to read these letters. Opening balance, $2,323.09. Deposits, 2016 dues for 20 members is $388. And I need to explain the $8 here. One of the members paid Lua directly their $12 dues because Lua accidentally sent them a letter. So we collected $8 from the person. We have outstanding raffle ticket sales for $20. So the total deposits, $408. Expenses, affiliate dues of $50. We had a bank service charge of $3. I explained this on the list that we have bank service charges for 5 months back, and I take full responsibility for not reading the statements all the way through. There are $3 each, so it amounts to $15. I am going to try and get them to reverse it. The issue is that we were receiving paper statements, and now we're receiving electronic statements. However, I was not told at the beginning that I would be charged for paper statements. I'm sure it was on that massive list of print that they gave me. So I'm going to nicely let them know. So the total expenses were $53. Our closing balance, $26,078.
Don't I wish.
$2,600. $2,678.09. Respectfully submitted by Vita Zavoli, Treasurer. That is my report.
Fabulous. Do we have a motion? Linda Perel moves. Who's Maria Mitchell seconds the motion to accept the treasurer's report. All in favor? Opposed? Nay, don't you dare. Opposed?
One other thing, Madam Chair?
Yes, Vita.
I sent out on the list with three treasury reports because the two previous reports needed to be modified in order to include the service charges, the $3 service charges. In total, they amount to $15. So if someone wants to make a motion to accept those reports as well, I don't know if we need to do them separately.
I would just say let's have a motion to accept the amended treasurer's reports.
Okay.
Steve Mendelson moves. Albert Contreras seconds. To accept the amended treasurer's reports.
And if I cannot get the $15 reversed, I will donate $15. Thank you.
I told the treasurer that was not necessary. But all in favor of the motion? Opposed? Abstain? Okay. Now we come to my president's report. And usually I write this report, but I wanted to give this in person today. I need someone to hold a mic. Linda, could you? Okay, Rob, would you hold the mic for me? Great. Let's get me on it. Okay, let me back up a little bit. Can you move a little closer? Move a little closer. Okay, now, good. Okay. It is no secret that I am running for president of the California Council of the Blind. If I were to be elected, I would need to step away from many of my commitments sooner than I might have otherwise, been the case. Under the Constitution, I could probably have served another three terms because our previous Constitution had no term limits and we are under the first year of our new Constitution. But I had always intended to relinquish this chair when my current term ends. We will just be transitioning a bit sooner. I am delighted to remain as your immediate past president, as your serving president for the remainder of my term, while transitioning more quickly than we might have otherwise done to allow Susan, should she wish to take over as president. She has indicated that she is generally inclined to do that. Should other people wish to run, of course, that is always, always a possibility. But we will operate as if we're transitioning so that Susan can sit in this chair. I will remain the immediate past president, a position that I think has been very sorely missed in this organization. I will also continue with my LUA commitment. Let me explain a little about my experience with LUA. I've been on the board nearly a year, and it took them some time to get me on the listserv. It has bi-monthly meetings. Everybody is busy and doing many, many other things. And so, as with so many of our organization, when it comes time to remember that we're supposed to be doing stuff for LUA, you know, it's like, oh, gosh, what was that? What were we going to do about the ledger? So I am starting to be a little more proactive in helping LUA to see that it has commitments to its affiliates. I will say I've come to appreciate LUA's national presence. LUA, for instance, sponsors the narrator that comes to each year's convention. It has many programs at the convention. Oh, they do stuff like last year they did something on dueling note takers, for instance, and people come to this presentation and just love it. And it's it's because we've got a lot of techie people. One year they did Braille devices. It's always exciting at a convention program, and including this year's, which, Karen Kenninger will be there as usual. We are going to have a wonderful discussion on how children's books are produced. National Braille Press will be there and so forth. And we'll also be participating in ACB Reads One Book. And I just want to do a check. Do Have you all received the most recent ledger, which was issued in the spring? Would you say aye? Okay. Okay, so people are receiving their ledger. What I intend to do and to implement as a policy, and I need the secretary to make sure we remember this, I want to publish the ledger on our list as a backup to make sure everybody really does see it. So you will know that the book they're going to read this year is by our visiting dignitary from the World Blind Union. He's the head of the Caribbean region, and he writes mystery novels. And so if you want to get his novels, I suggest we read him at one of our upcoming book clubs so we can participate as a local affiliate. You need to send Kim Charlson a request. She will send you a cartridge with the books. And then just when you're done, you return the cartridge to Kim.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Vita.
In lieu of recent events, I suggest you ask Lua if we can circulate their magazine on our list as it can be forwarded.
Yes, I will do that. That's a very good point. I will check and see if that's all right. Yes.
Are the books on Bard?
No. Oh, that is why we need to get them from Kim. They are not available in any other way. I mean, you can then play them. She's gotten permission from the Canadian Institute to duplicate these books for this purpose. Yes, Albert. I'm afraid they're only available on cartridge. I asked that question myself because I don't use cartridges. So that is, Maria. Yes. So you're saying you can just attach it to a book reader. Oh, good. Okay. Oh. Okay. You have to have a cable, some kind of cable. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so we can all do. Great. It's a cable, it's a USB on one, the small USB in the standard. Got it. Okay. I am now also taking on a commitment to work with Paul Edwards on the ledger. And we are starting to do that on this issue. And so I'm hoping to, that we can make that magazine better and better. And Paul really is a dedicated editor. He's just wearing about five, if some people wear 500 hats, he's got about 5,000. But Lua needs to do a better job of proving that your $12 is well spent. I intend to suggest, for instance, that these, because so much of this stuff happens at convention, that the Lua meetings should be archived. They're not and recorded properly so that people can listen to them. So that is going to be one of my recommendations. After all, Lua has a fairly strong treasury, like in the neighborhood of $20,000. So this is something that would get a lot more members, I think, too. It would serve the national interest very well. I'm going to give this back to you to hold for me again. That's right. Thank you. This is good. I am going to keep my position in Lua to do my best to promote our interest. Now I want to talk about my years as president. I have been part of two major accomplishments, and I say part because it's been a group effort. We've grown our membership, and we've grown our treasury. And we've had our major project of our book club, which I'm very proud of. Now, I want to talk about areas where I've been weak. And I bring these up not as excuses or to be defensive, but to show where the possible future path could take us. I haven't delegated well. So things sometimes get bogged down in the pipeline of me. And ultimately, no organization can succeed as long as you work that way. Because when the catalyst leaves, too often a vacuum remains. Not that I'm suggesting that would happen, but it certainly has happened in many affiliates where, you know, somebody who's been in a position for a while leaves, and so that has just been the way, you know, that is just one of the truths. Yes, okay. Now, I've had also little success in creating inspiring projects to make people want to join. We put out a call on the general CCB list last fall for membership and got not one additional member. Almost everyone, it seems to me, in this state reads books and technically, you know, are our membership pool. And twice now, last fall, and now I've come to you with little forward motion. I've been pushing, and, you know, partly that's my procrastination and partly that's my various hats, but that's just been the way it is. I've been pushing three projects. One, the Nuts and Bolts project, which is the foundation of any organization, the Constitution, which needs revitalizing and revisiting and has for a year. We have a very good committee, and we were just about to come to the convention last fall with an updated Constitution, which should have been put out 30 days before that. When, frankly, we had a terrible tragedy in our family. Steve's, who is the chair of this committee, lost his brother tragically, and we were involved in an extended lawsuit to deal with his remains. So that really derailed the constitutional issue last fall. And this spring, frankly, I've been stalling because of this possible merger idea. But, you know, after today, we will move ahead with the Constitution. The second project that's dear to my heart is the one about sharing older devices. That was my pet project that I wanted to start because of my friend having donated several pieces of equipment. The questions have been put forward. That's happened embarrassingly, like nearly a year ago. And last fall, I said it was time to move forward. And this project is now my top priority to get moving again. At this minute, I don't have the committee members, but I will check that list and put out an announcement about it. And if people still want to serve, fine. And if they, different people, and if we need to appoint other people, we will. Lots of people need these devices. We can find homes for them. I think this is a worthy project for Kahlua. The third project that I've kind of been talking about for a year or so is connecting us to our local libraries. Originally, the thought was to have Nolan Crabb help us with a workshop because he's done some work in this area. But Nolan has some serious health issues and is very much now less involved than he was. Linda told us earlier in the other hour about San Francisco chapter's exciting project to show the library community about Braille, and what a great PR thing that was. And the real key is we not only can have things done that we need from our libraries, but we need to do things for our libraries. When was the last time you were at your local public library? Last summer, I participated in the San Leandro Summer Reading Program. If you read two books, you got invited to an end-of-summer dinner at the library. It was a modest dinner, but every week there were chances to win a prize if you turned in a card about a book you'd read, and they gave a little $25 prize each week and a grand prize of several hundred dollars from different restaurants. Well, I participated with my sister, but I saw, you know, the problem was I had to have somebody else fill out the cards and stuff, and I thought that this summer I would talk to the library about, you know, are there ways we could maybe make this a little more accessible? But that's only one thing that can happen. How many of us belong to the Friends of the Library, for instance? So I really want us to either set out some guidelines or get some people to go to their libraries, and so we can tell some inspiring stories like San Francisco chapter story, and get excited about getting back involved with our local libraries and our local senior centers who need us, because they need role models for people, how people, blind people, read when their sight is failing. We need to inspire each other to become an integral part of our local communities. We should move forward with these and hopefully add new projects. If I am elected president, I will support all California's affiliates to the best of my ability. But that means stepping back from the four affiliates where I am currently most heavily committed. Recent commitments to BRLC and GDUC, which have already become dear to my heart, which I took on only last fall. It will be harder to move away from my home chapter of Bayview, where I will complete my commitment this year as fundraising chair. It will be hardest to step back from the Blind Californian and Kahlua. But I won't be very far away. Thank you.
Okay, first of all, I'd like to say again, thank you for re-electing me as secretary. I kind of have stalled because of various reasons, and that's why the minutes were so late, and going over them, oh, gee, we missed a book club meeting. I forgot to announce it, let people know, and I've relied a lot on Judy to remind me of things, and she shouldn't have to do that. So, because Susan may not be as patient with me as Judy is. So I will endeavor in the future to be a lot better and look at my minutes once in a while and realize what will be happening and keep ahead of this so that won't happen again. And I need all of your support. Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Vita.
Yes, I noticed there are people here who are not CLUA members. And in case you are interested in joining CLUA, we would love to have you. $20 dues. I'm sitting right here near Phil and Steve. Come visit.
And she'll also be here at lunchtime. But it would just be wonderful while you're sitting here in the room to come up and pay your dues. A couple people said to me, like, did I pay my dues? And I said, I'm pretty sure you did, but check with Vita. Rob, do you have some books here? Well, this will be the last agenda item. Yep. There's a mic over there.
First of all, thank you so much for your thoughtful and thorough presentation. And I don't mean to open a can of worms, but I am a little bit concerned about the transition is, you know, our constitution does, as far as I know, these constitutions don't necessarily allow for a gradual handover of power without it, quote unquote, power, without it being officially sanctioned by an election. So I am concerned about the plan to gradually draw back and let Susan take over. I don't know how other people feel about that. I just wanted to
Linda, let me clarify. Let me clarify. I will not resign the presidency until my term is up next year, and I will be the president. And the idea, though, is that Susan, more and more will take on some of the responsibilities, but it's not that I'm transitioning literally. Is that...
We've had enough dealings with runaway
presidents. No. This... Does that
I knew that didn't apply to you, but it, you know, just
does that
to sort of clarify it.
Does that clarify?
It does help. Thanks.
Yes. Yes, I am definitely, not leaving this chair, but it's realistic. It's just a realistic that you'll have a president ready to hit the ground running next year. Does anybody have? I wanted to ask Rob about Bookshare, but a couple of other people had stuff that they thought they might want to raise, and I want to know if they still want to raise, if there are members who have other issues that they would like to raise.
Madam Chairman? Madam Chair, yes. I would like to mention to people, it's not so much an issue, but just an update, and it's an exciting update, which is that the Marrakesh Treaty is being introduced in the Senate, and apparently people feel there are some reasonably good prospects for its passage before the end of this current Congress at the end of the year.
That is great. The Marrakesh Treaty, which will allow books in English to be shared between countries. Marikesh. 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 Rob, a Bookshare update, please.
Yeah, well, we are going to Bookshare, will soon be over the 400,000 book mark. I believe it might even happen within the next week or so. One of the other things that's been going on at Bookshare, which is another thing that's been happening, is we are going to, actually it's official now, we are the engine for the Royal National Institute of Blind People in England. We are the engine for their library now. So their patrons essentially are using the software developed by Benetech. That's been a very intense. So that's been very intensive for the engineering team in the last 6 months or so. There's continued progress. Benetech is working with libraries now in terms of best ways for using three-dimensional printing. These printers are able to model, various things like molecular structures and all kinds of stuff. It's pretty amazing. I don't know how it all works, but they're doing it. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's see. I don't really have a whole lot. There's the other ongoing project is the Born Accessible project, and that's, again, dealing with things like, well, one of the things they've done now is we've got this math support finder, MathML support finder, and it's basically a matrix that teachers can look at to see for a given student what the best options might be for getting accessible math to them. Let's see. I don't really have too much else today. That's it. Okay, sure. Oh, yes.
Right over. I got it here, Albert.
My question, I just wanted to clarify something that I heard. Is it true that Bookshare is able to produce books if you would want it under the English Braille and or under the new UEBC? Will Bookshare do it either way, or has Bookshare gone completely with UEBC?
Okay, thanks. Yeah, no, it's there's a choice, and so what you would do is you would go into under the My Account settings. There is a preference where you choose the format of the Braille that you want. You can choose the line length. You can determine whether or not it will be for an embosser. And then you can choose whether you want the UEB or the, what they call the American Braille, I'm sorry, English Braille American Edition.
Rob and everybody, I don't really know if this is a Bookshare question, but maybe you or somebody can answer it. In the ledger, which I actually read, and it was a very good ledger, there was a reference to something called Voice Dream. And I was wondering what that is. Is that Bookshare or is that something else?
Well, it is an independent reader, which is a very robust, very, I would say, versatile reader that has really grown popular, and the only connection it has with Bookshare is that it does use our API to interrogate our website, and it allows the subscribers to download books and read books using that system.
I am going to adjourn this meeting unless there's any reason not to, so we have a few minutes before we reconvene for our joint meeting. Please don't go far. We need you for this joint meeting.
Madam Chair?
Steve?
Yes, Vita was called away. She's asked me to collect dues for her, and although I'm not bonded, I have undertaken to do so.
Okay, so Steve Mendelson, sitting over here at the second table, is ready to take dues from people who have not paid, and I have the list should he need to know whether you actually paid your dues. Thank you so much. We'll see you again in about 8 minutes. So I'm going to turn this meeting for the minute over to my boss. She's actually my boss because she is the chair of the Publications Committee, and I work for her. So,
thank you, Judy. Boy, I've never... boss lady, here I am. Judy have had this intriguing idea.
Actually, Rob originally.
Oh, Rob. All right. Rob had it. But I think, you know, people talk about the collective unconscious. I suspect that this idea has been floating around in the ether for a while. So, but we'll attribute it to Rob, in our case, to consider the possibility of merging Braille Revival League of California with California Library Users of America, BRSC, and CLUA. And Rob mentioned it to Judy. Judy mentioned it to us on the BRLC board. For those of you who don't know, I'm president and newly elected officially president of BRLC, and Judy is a member of our board until this election, where she is taking off some of her 500 hats. So You know, we talked about it on the BRLC board. We talked about it on the Kahlua board, to which I was invited. So here's the idea for anyone who isn't aware, that we would consider merging the two affiliates. Some of the questions that have arisen are about our connections and responsibilities to both national affiliates, BRL and LUA. So that's one consideration. Another consideration that was discussed, particularly at the BRLC board meeting, is to maintain the integrity of our efforts regarding the promulgation of Braille. So that's really important to us on the BRLC side. But we just want to hear, for a little while at least, how this idea lands with everyone here in the room as an idea, sort of create a list of pros, a list of complications. And we're not taking action today. This is not an action-oriented meeting. This is a process-oriented meeting. Sorry, Vita. And we are going to talk. We could form a joint committee. We might do that to explore the possibility. So that's problem. That's issue number one. The second thing we will take up, we'll do about 20 minutes for this, or 15 minutes or 20 minutes for this issue. And the other is how to come up with meaningful activities for each of these two affiliates, since they have very similar goals. You know, what could how could we energize each of the affiliates outside of convention? So that is the intro. Judy, you can elaborate on that.
I'm ready. Who wants the
Albert. Albert, we're going to have to get you a mic. Hold on 1 second.
My question was, what originally started this idea? Is it, you know, what? How did it come? Is it because the affiliates are, okay, hold on a minute. Okay, 1 minute. Here's, okay.
What, Rob can speak to this, and I'll take him the mic. Where are you, Rob? Okay.
I think the reason it came up in my mind at the time, this is when BRLC was really attempting to basically reestablish itself. I'm not doing well with the mic today. Yeah, so I think the concern for me has been that, especially with BRLC, it's really been a struggle, I think, to find enough members. It's just, I think we're starting to get more done now. I thought the two organizations had a lot in common. The fact that library users, many are Braille readers as well. And I think that, given an issue, it might be possible to rally a larger organization more easily, to deal with something that comes up rather than having the two. I other than that those were really my main issues. It's something that I just thought we could give some thought to.
Where are you, Judy? One of the things that Rob noticed immediately, and I've noticed it too, is frankly the membership is almost identical. Everybody's paying dues twice. We were thinking maybe we could find a way to pay a little more dues, pay, you know, both national affiliates or something, and maintain that. But this is true on BRL nationally too, and LUA nationally, and BRLC and CLUA. The membership, most people who are in one are in the other. And in fact, when I presented this thought to Paul Edwards of Florida, he was fascinated by the idea, and he's also going to discuss this notion in his state affiliate too. So whether we do anything about it or not, the idea is kind of germinating various places. Who would like this mic? Who would like to say something?
Madam Chair?
I thought you might.
I have a mic right here. Thank you. I was trying to think of what the name for the new organization might be, and the best I can come up with so far was Cabrula.
Cabrula?
On a more serious vein, though, I want to speak in favor of exploring the idea of merger, and my rationale is this. Primarily, I see both organizations as advocacy organizations. They serve the members in a variety of other ways as well, but advocacy is ultimately their raison d'etre. It seems to me the kind of advocacy that we do can no longer be conducted in isolation, both because we have relatively few members and consequently less leverage, but also because the issues and the context for that advocacy are changing. So if I begin with the premise that the goal of our advocacy is to achieve the maximum possible, hopefully in due time universal, but at least the maximum possible accessibility and availability of print materials to us, and to achieve them in forms which are usable, selectable, so far as the medium is concerned, Braille, speech, large print, then the only logical way to do that is to combine the efforts of the two organizations in that regard. There's no way you can advocate for accessibility and not advocate responsibly anyway, at the same time for user selectability and for total availability of all appropriate formats, and there's no way you can advocate for Braille availability without addressing the context of universal accessibility. So it seems to me that because of technology and social change and the economy, the two issues are now so increasingly intertwined, there's really no other way to go. Thank you.
Mike Keithley wants the mic. I'm bringing you one, Mike. Would you hand it to him? Thanks.
Well, from a local point of view, it makes sense, but I think it's diametrically opposed in the structure of the national organizations. And I think that somebody going to ACB should propose a resolution in ACB, at the ACB convention, and that the two organizations be merged, Lua and BRL. And then we can go freely into our merger, because if we're talking about our merger and trying to make it work at the national organization, it just doesn't make sense. Thank you.
Okay, that is a very relevant point. However, I'd like to flip it on its head in that if we were to try this experiment locally, it might then demonstrate to the national organizations that they would have some, that it would have some merit if we were to make a success of merging our two state affiliates. Then we might be, it might be a template for a national merger.
Who would like to speak next? Bonnie back here. I'm coming. I'm just going to bring you the mic, Bonnie.
Here. Well, you're doing such a good job with this mic schlepping, Judy. Gosh. Can you hear me? Okay. I'd like to speak in favor of the merger. I will say first, I understand there's reasons not to do it. Some of them have been mentioned. I'm a member of Kahlua, and I, a very avid Braille reader, am not a member of BRLC. And I may not be representative, but there are many reasons. Mostly, it's one more affiliate to pay money to, and after you pay $20 here and $20 there, you're talking about real money after a while. So I just think that despite the drawbacks, which we could all name, I imagine, if nothing else, to get more members, to make it easier for people. That's what I see it as most immediately and why I'd really like to try it. See what happens. It could always be changed if it really doesn't work or if, like, the Braille interests lose and whatever. But I think the best-selling point is what I heard this morning about projects. You have to have projects to get people involved. The notion of working with Braille as one way to read and working with local libraries and making our faces present in there, to me, has more appeal and might be more easily done if, rather than having several organizations of 10 people, and I have no idea what the membership of BRLC is. I just see it as a more of an avenue, though Braille readers aren't the only readers. If we find that it's diluting the impact of Braille, that can be addressed or, I suppose, unmerged. I don't know what all is involved. But I really hope, as something to try, I don't see that there's huge numbers of people that are rushing to join. And maybe my opinion that I gave earlier is not representative of why people aren't doing this. But I'd like to see us try it, and I hope people strongly consider giving it a try. Thanks.
This is Susan Glass. I would also like to speak in favor of this merger, and I'm thinking of something Judy was saying earlier today about projects and reaching out to local public libraries. And I am thinking about the idea that when we reach out to local public libraries, yes, we can do cool things like showing up at the story hour and reading Braille to children and making people aware of Braille. But we can also work with those libraries to tell them about Bookshare and NLS. And there's a way, I think, in which we would be able to educate libraries about the multiple media that blind and visually impaired literate people need. And I think that the joining of the two sets of projects could go a long way toward that end as well. Thank you.
Who would like? Albert, you're yes. You're next.
Yes.
Jeff, bring in. Is there a mic already at that table? That
I'll give it to him.
Yeah.
I think the one way we could look at it is to, like I say, work with our state organization and at least do it that way. Probably when you think about it, unless Lua and BRL thought about merging as well, the organizations themselves might just stay the same. But as long as we, like you said, we pay a little more and give to each organization, but at least in California, because we're having so many problems with respect to how our conventions are going and everything, at least if we had one organization, we could at least try to bring members and grow the one organization, and then we just have to kind of work with BRL and Lua and just do that separately, you know, for the time being. That's what I think. We could just have our own, you know, one organization with both, but still work with the two in the national group.
Let me just say, in response to what Mike Keithley raised, since I am on both national boards, I will pursue this matter on the national level.
Albert?
That's Steve, if I can.
Go ahead.
It just occurred to me area perhaps to explore in the short run is if we were one organization and before the national organizations would also bind together, there would be a short-term disadvantage in the sense that we would be paying dues to two national organizations from our dues, and I guess there would be some way to resolve that.
That would have to be worked out, Steve. But the thought is instead of paying $40 to two organizations, maybe we'd work it, you'd pay like 30, and we'd still pay the $8 to one and 12 to the other. And, you know, that would, those kinds of details, you're right, are, you know, would have to be worked out. But we haven't even, you know, Linda, you had said coming in this, that we were not going to make any decision at this meeting, but I'm wondering if we shouldn't somehow move this forward by forming some kind of combination. Maybe the two boards could work together. What does that seem?
Yeah, that the two boards, that might be a little unwieldy, but I think we might want to get representatives from each board and a member at large from each group to sort of get us a joint task force to investigate the possibility. I mean, one thing we'd have to do is create a new entity, which would be, you know, and we'd have to talk about that. Hold on a second, Debbie. And so, so I think we should get together a group. But it's Debbie, and I heard a guy. Anthony, yay. All right.
Can I?
Debbie?
Yes. I'd just like to mention a concern that was brought at the board, at our board meeting, and this is one of my concerns. Partially because it's happening in my church where, and I'm not going to say the denomination, but it doesn't matter, but they want to, you know, kind of make themselves more like everybody else and take away its authenticity. And I think it's weakened the church myself. You know, maybe other people wouldn't agree with me, but that's my feeling. And that's one thing that we're afraid that might happen or could happen if we let it, that one or both might be weakened if we joined. And part of it is, you know, just the fear of change, I'm sure. But that's one thing. And another concern was, you know, would we have to dismantle our affiliates? And then that would mean, according to our constitution, that we would have to give that money back to the state. And then, you know, I don't think the state would give us back to us so that we could. Oh, it would? Oh, okay. Because that wasn't, you know, that wasn't emphasized, or that wasn't.
You mean if we dissolve? Well, supposedly our constitution, CLUIT, says it goes to the state. Yeah. Anthony, you're next.
Yes. I just wanted to mention that if a committee was formed, I'd be willing to be a member at large on that committee. I'm not on a board of either one, but I really think it needs to be looked at a little more thoroughly. What comes to mind is, you know, shoemaker, stick to thy last, what you do best. And I don't know if Braille Revival League combining with CLUA would be a great idea. I'm kind of on the fence about it, to be honest with you. So that's where I'm.
Well, that's because, you know, you're just hearing sort of about it for the, it's, you know, it's kind of just a lot to chew.
Yeah, and like I say, I think forming a committee with a couple board members and a couple regular members at large would be a good idea.
Who else would like?
I took the mic back. I'd like to respond to Anthony. That's a wonderful comment. And I'm thinking we have to, and Debbie's comment too about maintaining authenticity and integrity of the groups. You know, in part of this, we might need to change both names. The word Braille and the word library might need to be not part of the new affiliate's name. Just throwing out one wild idea. Anybody else want to say something?
Steve? I'm standing behind you with a mic.
For what it's worth, I think we see
throughout the nonprofit sector a tendency toward consolidation. And the reasons for it are, in general, pretty understandable, and some apply to us more obviously than to others. But consolidation, for better or for worse, is the way of the world in the nonprofit sector, and smaller groups are at an increasing disadvantage and have found more and more reasons and more need to combine their forces and efforts.
Thank you.
We have to, it's about 11:30, so we might have 6 or 7 minutes at most. Could we entertain a motion for an exploratory committee made along the lines? Somebody make a motion. Steve. Wait, I'm going to let Steve make the motion because I'm standing next to him.
But you can second it.
I'm sure it's the same motion Mike would have made. I move that the two organizations jointly establish a committee drawn from equal numbers of the members of each, let's say two and two, to explore all the issues and ramifications pertinent to a possible decision to merge and to create a new organization, including implications for the national organization's name, finances, dues, and any other matters that might prove of relevance, and report when would be a good time for the committee to report.
It would need to be done by the end of the year because probably we, well, I would think we would want to say
October.
By.
Yeah. Just a minute,
yeah.
Alvin. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know about a timeline, but probably we don't want to drag this on forever.
October?
October sounds good. And then finish, and then we would.
October, but friendly amendment, by October
to have. My friendly amendment would be to have it be reported at the next convention. To give us enough time. You know, I was saying it might give us enough time, though. Well, anyway, okay. Or, well, then I would say then take my friendly amendment to, like you said, maybe October then, okay.
Albert, I'd like to try to even modify your friendly amendment, if Steve is willing. We didn't get anyone to second Steve's.
Yeah.
Did we? Was it Mike? Steve moved that we would form an exploratory committee to discuss the advisability and the nuts and bolts of combining BRLC with Kahlua.
And it would have board members from each and members at large
from each. So we'd have like a total of, say, six people.
And report back by, say, sometime.
So what I'm going to propose is that we give a preliminary report to both boards in October and come up with a plan, a proposal to present to both affiliates at the next convention.
This is pretty informal. Shall we go ahead and call? Mike, did you understand now sort of the gist of the motion? And I don't know that we have a second yet? Oh, Mike did second. Great. Okay, so I'm now going to ask that all in favor of this motion, we'll send it out formally. Steve will rewrite it beautifully, and it'll be right. And all in favor of this proposed motion to explore the merger, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Well, well, indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. I think this has been really,
Judy.
And Linda, you're trying to say?
In terms of forming the committee, Judy, I'm afraid you do need to serve on it. And myself.
Yes.
And now we have Anthony as a member of BRLC. Is there any board member of BRLC or board member of Kahlua and just member of Kahlua who would like to be on it?
I think Rob should serve. It was originally
Mike wants to serve.
And
too.
Mike, let's see.
All right. Rob, why don't you? Mike could serve as a BRLC officer, And you could serve as a CLUA member?
Yeah, yeah. So we have Rob, Mike, Linda, Judy. We need...
Anthony, we need
Anthony,
a member.
We need a... Do we need sort of one more...
One more... we need a LUA board member.
A LUA board member. Susan?
spinning.
Susan.
Of course. All right, so we're done.
And do we need another BRL member?
No, Anthony's the BRL. Anthony's the BRLC member.
And Rob's the Kahlua member.
Yes.
Great, and Susan, okay.
Susan and Mike and you and me.
Got it.
The old 80-20 rule.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Is that it, ladies and gentlemen? Let's go take a break. And we need to vacate this room. We need to empty this room.